Welcome to the Attractions Group Podcast, episode number 87. I'm Don Helbig alongside Ryan Sir. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing just freaking amazing. It's, you know, we had some kind of scary weather here the last couple of days, but other than that, it's felt like spring up here in Castle Ryan in northern Kentucky.
It has been. I'm in the Fairfield, Ohio area, and it's been, you know, for the most part, pretty nice. Didn't have really a rough winter at all, so it's been great. But usually there's a payoff for that when the winters haven't been too bad and you get into April and May and it's expecting to be warmer, Ryan, as you know, and then it's a lot of days in the 40s and 50s and that when you were hoping for it to be 70 or 80.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we've got a very exciting episode coming up with a guest that we've been from a park we've been trying to get on for a little while, and we're finally getting to do it. But before we start, let's remember, if you're watching the YouTube video, hit that subscribe button, give us a like, leave us a comment, and tell us how wrong we are about everything, as you guys have a tendency to do. If you're an audio listener, welcome. We can be found on all of your favorite podcast apps, Apple, Google, Spotify, you know the drill. Don, what do we have going on today?
Well, Ryan, excited to welcome our guest from Kentucky Kingdom. She's the marketing manager there. Welcome to the Attraction Group Podcast, Logan Sanderson. Logan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, hey, it's our honor to have you on. So can you tell us about yourself and your role at Kentucky Kingdom?
Sure. So I started with Kentucky Kingdom for the first time around in the summer of 2016 in the food and beverage department as a manager. And then I stepped away, finished college. I'm native to Louisville, actually, where Kentucky Kingdom is based. And I left home for about 4 years. I came back to Louisville and joined Kentucky Kingdom once again in November of 2022. So it's a really great job. I really enjoy working with the team. And I'd say it's been just under 2 years total.
So Logan, can you provide an overview of Kentucky Kingdom and Hurricane Bay for the listeners who might not be familiar with it?
Yes, so we are a theme and water park based in the heart of Louisville, Kentucky, which is actually pretty unique, I'd say, for this region to have an amusement park in a metropolitan area. We're just over 67 acres of both a theme and a water park, which is Hurricane Bay. And we are open from May and this year for the first time until January 4th. And we've extended our season out, so we're really excited about that. On top of the rides and attractions, we also have, of course, food, game, retail, as well as festivals and entertainment.
That's very interesting. And you guys have a big year coming up, as you kind of touched on, but we'll get into that here in a minute. But so Kentucky Kingdom's had a very short but interesting history over the past almost 30 years now or so. Can you talk about through the different ownerships and, you know, corporate ownerships and being closed a couple of times, talk about the evolution of Kentucky Kingdom from, you know, its origins in the early 1990s up until now under Hershend in 2024.
Sure. So it was originally founded in the late 80s. And at that point in time, Kentucky Kingdom was a part of the State Fair, which is every year on the same property at the Kentucky Expo Center. Which we share, we're neighbors of. So then it became its own park. And it has, as you alluded to, changed hands in terms of ownership, but it was owned by Six Flags at one point. And we closed in 2010 and reopened in 2014. And that is when we were owned by different management. And then in 2021, we were acquired by Hershend Family Entertainment. So that's our current history. Our current story is that we're a part of the Hershend Entertainment family. And we are, you know, in good company with people like Silver Dollar City, Dollywood, and more. So I would say that it's really been great to kind of learn from their expertise and work under their leadership. And we've really invested in a lot of areas in terms of leaning more into family-friendly entertainment, for example, and now with Christmas being another new addition. So we're really excited about our future.
So Logan, can you go in a little bit of detail, you know, discuss the different attractions, experiences that visitors at Kentucky Kingdom can expect?
Sure. So I would say, you know, we kind of have it's very unique where how the park is situated. I would call the North Park where you enter. So on that side, guests can expect to see our King Louis Playland area. So it's one of the biggest kids play areas in the region. So that's definitely a bonus for our youngest guests. We have other dry rides on that side, some thrill rides, as well as our a lot of our games and our amphitheater where we have entertainment throughout the summer. Then when you actually cross the street, that's when you start to enter more dry rides, but also Hurricane Bay, which is one of our bigger draws for the summer. A lot of people enjoy Hurricane Bay, whether it's the wave pool, the lazy river. We have two wave pools, two lazy rivers, a number of slides that guests can find. We also have five roller coasters in the park, which is obviously exciting too. So I'd say that's the park in a nutshell.
Now, you mentioned the roller coasters, but my visits to Kentucky Kingdom, one of the things that I noticed was there's a lot to do for families with young children. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so King Louis Playland is definitely one area. So there's about a dozen or so rides over there for, you know, that have really low to no height requirements. So our youngest guests can go there and expect to have fun. We also have family-friendly rides like our Tin Lizzies. We also have a roller coaster called the Roller Skater, which is a family-friendly roller coaster, as well as our Kentucky Flyer, which is family-friendly. So there's definitely plenty to do if you have young children when you come to the park.
Yeah, there's, you know, your kids area, terribly underrated, and, you know, all the, not only things that you can do, that kids can do, but adults and kids alike. So I think that that's something that I'm glad you're giving a shout out to, especially Kentucky Flyer, which was manufactured by our friends at the Gravity Group, I might add. Yeah, so, you know, besides the kids stuff, let's talk about more like the adults, the teenagers. What are some of the more involving thrill rides you have? Like, what are the ones to write home about?
I think that a crowd favorite is Storm Chaser, of course, on the roller coaster side. I would say that another one is Lightning Run. I almost feel about even about both of those, but I would say that those are the biggest two for thrill seekers. And then on the non-roller coaster side for thrill, I have yet to do Scream Extreme. Kind of nervous about that one, but I think that's definitely one for thrill seekers. What's another? I would say that one, and then also Cyclos, I would say, are some standouts for me.
Yeah, and then what's the wooden one? Twisted Twins? That's another really cool one.
Thunder Run.
This is Twisted Twins leftovers. It became RMC'd several years ago. So it just shows. I've been visiting Kentucky Kingdom on and off for a really long time. So if you see me referencing stuff that's been gone for 10 years, I ask for your forgiveness.
You mentioned Thunder Run. 1992, a friend of mine, friend of the show, Jess Novak, came down from Detroit. And we just had a lot of fun on it, you know, riding it over and over again. Next thing you know, we're spending pretty much the whole day there. Rode it 80 times day. I've always had a lot of fun, you know, on that ride. But because of that one day, just a lot of memorable experience, you know, spending the time with my friend Jess on that ride and just the people that we met in line who started to pick up on what we were doing and everything that day. So that ride is going to always hold a little special place in my heart.
Love that.
So can you highlight on some of the standout water attractions and slides that you have at Hurricane Bay? What are the stars there?
I think the star for water slides would probably be Deep Water Dive. The tallest slide is 12 stories. So I'm not a thrill seeker, so I've yet to do that one. But I think if you are, that's definitely a fun one. There's a countdown, and you are actually on a floor that drops out and send you down the slide. It's a really quick ride. I'd say that's a standout. And then I think for just people who want more of a relaxing experience, I think our wave pool is a classic. A lot of people like Big Surf and then the Lazy River. So it's a really great place to cool off during the summer.
Do you find you have a lot of regulars who visit the park maybe 3, 4, 5 times a week specifically for the water park?
Yeah, so I think it's really unique since we're situated in the city. People can really treat it like their summer pool. So I know people who do come to the park on a regular basis, and they might come for a couple hours at a time, and it's just really easy to embed into their day. But I would say even amongst our season pass holders, most people are coming around at least three times for the season. So we definitely see a lot of reoccurring visits.
You know, circling back to the water park, Hurricane Bay, I always thought it was kind of unique and cool that it's kind of just plopped in the middle of the park. So you like have no choice but to walk through it to get from one side. Well, you do have a choice, to be clear, but, you know, at a lot of other parks, it's very segregated. So it's the water park and it's the dry park. But can you kind of elaborate a little bit more on Hurricane Bay and what it adds to the Kentucky Kingdom experience?
Sure. So it is unique because there are, like I mentioned, when you cross from the north to the south side of the park, there are still dry rides when you're in the water park area. I mean, the dry rides are kind of on the outskirts of Hurricane Bay, but they're definitely really close to one another. So I think it makes it easy to navigate the park. Like you said, it's not segregated. It's not like there's a separate entrance or you have to pay an additional fee or travel a far distance. So I think it makes it really accessible for guests since it is so close.
So Logan, let's talk about the culinary experience at Kentucky Kingdom. So what are some of the more popular food items, maybe your signature item that you might have there?
If you had to guess, what do you think are like the top sellers? I mean, it shouldn't come as a surprise, but I do happen to know this as a fun fact.
I would say that I remember the burgers were pretty good there.
Gotcha. Okay, so last year they did do a bonsai burger, which I thought was really good. So that was one of my favorites last year. But the top sellers, Dippin' Dots, chicken tenders. So.
Okay, yeah. Chicken tenders are popular wherever you go. But what I recall, yeah, yours are pretty good there too. Really good there. You mentioned Dippin' Dots, so a lot of different treats in that. When I go to a park, I mean, the culinary experience, it's really become a big part of it. You know, before when I was younger, it was just all about as many rides as I could get on the roller coasters. But now I want to try, you know, kind of everything that a park has to offer, and the food comes into play there.
Yeah, I mentioned the bonsai burger. That was one of my favorites. Our team also did a pineapple pizza. I know pineapple on pizza is controversial, but I...
Doesn't work for me.
And then the Bourbon Craft House, I think, is like a little bit more of an elevated dining experience. So I'd recommend people checking that out too. Our culinary team does a really great job, and it kind of has a unique... I would say experience in terms of like the food that you can only get there that you really don't see elsewhere in the park.
Yeah, and your pizza is kind of like your own thing too, right? It's not like a local brand or anything. It's your own thing, right?
Yes, made fresh.
Yeah, it's so you mentioned, was it the Bourbon House you called it? That's the one in the Picnic Grove, right?
It's next to it, yeah.
Right, yeah, that's, do they still have the nachos there? I've had those twice, and those are top five favorite theme park foods ever. Actually, I just found my picture. Do they do the nachos?
Yeah, I believe that's staying. So I believe you can hope to see that on your next visit.
Okay. So if you're going to tease us like that, then I'm going to show a picture of the nachos that I took. Now, granted, this is a couple years old, so, you know, things might have changed or whatever, but that was the nachos that I ate. And for real, it's like, it doesn't look like a whole lot. And for you audio listeners, you're really missing out on this, but they are, rarely do I want to get an item twice because I want to, try different things. But these were so good the first time I had them that when I came back a couple months later, I just had to get them again. So, yeah.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Yeah, so we're just going on about nachos now. See where we are? Yeah, but, you know, a dining experience is very important to a park. And it seems like it's a lot more competitive nowadays than it ever was before. But you mentioned that you weren't a big like thrill ride person, Logan. What's your favorite ride there?
Okay, so I did say that. I will say, I think my take on it, I could probably ride a roller coaster more easily than other flat thrill rides, if that makes sense. I think that with the roller coaster, you kind of journey through it and it's, you know, that's the experience. But I guess the repetition of some other thrill rides I find hard. Like we have an Eye of the Storm.
Yeah.
That's one that I haven't gotten on yet, or just at theme parks in general. I usually don't get on just because the repetitive kind of heights experience is tough for me. But I would still say, all that to say, Storm Chaser is one of my favorites, and Lightning Run. I think I might go with Storm Chaser. The first time I rode it, I think it was more of a shock to me, but the more I ride it, I think it's, I find more fun with it each time.
Great ride.
Yeah, your roller coaster lineup, I mean, it's good. If you're a thrill seeker, you know, you'll find what you're looking for at Kentucky Kingdom.
I agree.
Completely agree. You know, still walking down the line here of, you know, we talked about food and the water park and stuff, but when we're moving into territories that are unknown, like Christmas events, can you talk about the origins of that discussion and, you know, things like expanding the season? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, so I originally became aware of the conversation, I would say, around summer of last year. So it definitely was in the works for a while, and it was probably, it could have been in discussions before, I'm sure it was, before I knew about it. So it has been kind of something we've been working towards. It's something that our sister, there are a number of sister properties that do it, like Wild Adventures, Dollywood has their own Christmas, Silver Dollar City. So it definitely makes sense in terms of the value that Hirschend places on family experiences. So we definitely felt like there was an opportunity in the market to do that. And then especially in the Louisville area, I think it's something really great that families can look forward to. We do have some Christmas attractions, but perhaps not as many as other larger markets. So it's definitely something that we're excited to offer families. So that was definitely something we wanted to consider in terms of planning. And then just what's something unique we can add to the experience that you could not expect to find at another Christmas themed attraction. So the snow tubing hill, for example, is something we think is pretty unique and something we're looking forward to sharing with people. And it's not something that I'm aware of in the area or even in the region. So I think that that'll definitely bring a unique experience.
Is the snow tubing hill going to be real snow, or like how are they going to pull that off?
Yes, we're going to be making our own snow, so it will be real in terms of it'll be made of water and everything of that nature, but we are going to be making our own snow, which is really cool.
It'd be cool if you made snow out of something else besides water. You just put that thought in my head.
Right.
Is it so the, you know, they're going to be making snow. I'm familiar probably with the company that you're using for that. And my understanding is they can make snow up to about 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Does it sound familiar to you, or?
This is a little outside my expertise, but, okay. Maybe.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Or we'll both be really wrong when it's 50 degrees in December.
Hopefully it won't be 90 during Christmas, but you never know. Honestly, the weather is all over the place. Like you mentioned at the top of the,
the
show.
So Logan, when you announced this at the beginning of March, what was the feedback that you got, you know, what you saw on social media, maybe your pass holders, you know, what did you hear about? How excited was everybody?
There was a lot of good feedback. And I also think it's really encouraging to see that there's feedback from all kinds of demographics. I've noticed, especially in terms of age, like sometimes I think, for Christmas, there will be opportunities for everyone. There will be like a Santa experience that's definitely going to, I think, be exciting for our younger guests. But then there's also all of the lights and the sights to see during the event. So I know, you know, older family members of mine, like my parents, for example, who are already excited to go, just pass holders and local people of all ranges. So I think that that's really fun. I think it really speaks to that family aspect again, that there is something for everyone to enjoy during the event.
I was on my way to Tennessee when you announced that. I was watching the press conference on my phone. And as soon as I checked into my hotel, the first thing I did was I logged onto your website and I bought a season pass, because it looks like there's just so much to see, so much to do. I knew that I was going to want to do that more than once. So mm-hmm. I bought the pass for that reason. But also, you know, I knew I was going to come a couple times in the summer, but you have other events as well. So talk about some of those.
Absolutely. So this year we're going to have an all new Pedalpalooza. So that will kick off on May 25th and it'll go through June. So that's going to be like a spring summer themed festival, and we will have live flower walls. We have a really great horticulture team, so they're working really hard on developing those in-house. So guests can expect to see that. We'll also have colorful entertainment around that time, as well as some special events like a silent disco party on June 8th and a color run on June 29th. So it's really all about springtime, color, flowers, and things of that nature. And then in the month of July, we're going to continue our Summer Blast fireworks show every Saturday in July, which we had last year as well. And then our first weekend of July, which will be 4th of July weekend from July 4th to July 6th, which is a Saturday, we're going to have a red, white, and bluegrass bash. So there will be fireworks each day. We'll also have bluegrass music entertainment as well as bluegrass foods, so just Kentucky-inspired food in the park, so guests can look forward to that. And then going into fall, we'll have pumpkins again. This year, we've expanded it to Thursday and Friday, in addition to this Saturday and Sunday that we were operating with for the first 2 years of pumpkins. So that's basically our fall-themed family-friendly festival. We have rides open. We have trick-or-treating in the park, special entertainment throughout the day, as well as really fall-inspired foods that are really great, kind of speaking back to that culinary piece. So guests can look forward to that through the month of October. And then, of course, pumpkin or Christmas will kick off, and that will start on Black Friday, November 29th, and it'll go through January 4th.
Yeah, and I want to stay on the subject of Christmas because this is still really novel. So as of this recording, it was announced about 2 weeks ago. So we're very excited about it. But you mentioned the snow tubing. So that's one thing. And then the children are going to be able to meet Santa. Can you elaborate on some of the other things that are going to happen during this event?
Yes, we'll have over a million lights, which is really cool. Every building will be decked out with Christmas lights. We'll also have glowing lights throughout. So if you've ever been to Pumpkins, you'll know that there are lights in that event. So it'll be similar in that sense, like some of those lights, but even more layered onto those. So all of the buildings, as I mentioned, we're also going to have a Christmas tree maze. We'll have entertainment through that time as well. We'll be transforming our King Louis Playland to a Candyland theme. We'll have like a Christmas Candyland theme. And then we'll also have a tree, like a giant tree in King Louis Playland area. And that'll have its own custom light show. Then our 5D cinema area is going to get transformed into a winter wonderland theme or a Christmas theme that we're calling Holly Jolly Junction. So Hirsch and Family Entertainment has usage with the Rudolph experience. So that'll be a part of that 5D transformation. We'll also have a Rudolph themed movie as well. So that's really exciting. In there, it's going to be crafty. There's a lot of activities you can do. There's going to be meet and greets with those characters and things of that nature. So this is all on the north side of the park that I had mentioned. And then the footprint of Christmas is going to be even bigger than Pumpkins. So when you cross over to the other side of the park, you'll enter into Santa's Village. So that's where you'll have that meet and greet area. We'll also have a countdown clock to Christmas. And then if you're familiar with our Swamp Water Jack's restaurant, it's a really popular restaurant that sits in between, I would say, Kentucky Kingdom and Hurricane Bay. So it gets a lot of traffic. We're going to have that restaurant decked out in Christmas decorations. We'll also have Christmas and seasonal foods throughout the festival experience. And then we have our snow play zone. So that's when we're transforming Hurricane Bay, that we're going to build that snow tubing hill over Big Surf Wave Pool. So we'll have several lanes of snow tubing there. We're also going to have areas where you can do free play, like building snowmans, making snow angels, as well as roasting s'mores. So it's going to be a really cool zone. There'll be a light field and it'll just be very immersive. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the transformation play out. And during that kind of hiatus between when we close for pumpkins to Christmas, that's when you'll see a lot of, or we'll see, and hopefully we can share a lot of that transformation taking place.
You mentioned the Rudolph experience. That's something that guests of all ages are going to want to get their photos with those characters.
Yeah, I really think that's one of the classic movies. When I think back to the Christmas movies that I really liked as a kid, Rudolph and Bumble and the kind of claymation style of characters are ones that I really liked. So I'm excited to see it as well.
Yeah. So, you know, the Christmas thing, that's super exciting. And I've always wondered why Kentucky Kingdom didn't do it. But, you know, Hirschen's a different beast and tons of industry experience and a good financial position stuff. So plenty of explanations for that. But so I've been to the Harvest Festival at Dollywood, but I haven't been to Pumpkins at Kentucky Kingdom. Can you tell me a little bit more about, I know you touched on it, but can you tell me what guests will experience if they visit Pumpkins at Kentucky Kingdom?
Sure. So we had, last year we had four pumpkin sculptures. They're about 12 feet tall, so they make for really great photo ops. They're basically jack-o'-lantern style pumpkins that we work with our creative team to build out. So last year we did one that was a, this was a carryover from our first year, but we had a horse and jockey. So it really lends itself to Kentucky and horse racing, which is, you know, a heritage of Kentucky, or part of Kentucky's heritage. So we had that. We also had a bluegrass band, which again was very Kentucky inspired. We have a giant spider as well as a cat jack-o'-lantern. We have, you know, pumpkins walk. So just jack-o'-lanterns scattered throughout the park, different photo experiences. We'll have special entertainment. Last year we had glow drummers. So it's pretty much what it sounds like. Very kind of dynamic. We have these percussionists that come in. They have glow in the dark drums. They play really cool music. It's really interactive. So we bring in different special entertainment like that. And it's a pretty packed schedule. So there's almost entertainment throughout the entire duration of operating days. So that's definitely something people can look forward to. We also have a hay maze that people can go through. We have rides that are operating during that time. So most of the north side is operating, and then parts of the south side. So a storm chaser we had going last year, for example. So that's another thing that we have that guests can look forward to. And then, of course, food is a fun part. So last year, of course, you have to have pumpkin spice themed foods. So we had that, and we did a special cinnamon bread that was seasonal during that time with different glazes. So that's another thing that I think is a really cool part of the event.
It's kind of like the ultimate kids Halloween party, isn't it?
I'd say so, but families can definitely, you know, the parents can enjoy it as well too.
Yeah, it sounds great with all the different food, especially the cinnamon bread. I mean, let's talk about that. How good is that?
Oh, it's really good. I mean, I think it's super, if you have a sweet tooth, it's great. I think it's honestly super filling too. Like you, that can be a meal in itself. You could probably stretch it over two meals. It's definitely filling, but really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's, if it's anything like Dollywood cinnamon bread, then the reputation precedes it. But hey, so I, you know, looking at your website, obviously, you know, a Kentucky Kingdom season pass is worth more than ever now. But I'm looking here and it looks like we've got silver, gold, and diamond. Can you explain the three different tiers to us?
Sure. So diamond is the most premium pass. So it's going to come with the most benefits. It's and also a little bit more of a higher ticket relative to the other ones. So diamond, some of the distinguishing benefits that come along with that are that your bring a friend tickets, for example, you get four of them and you can use them anytime through late September. The date is September 22nd this year. So they definitely get a little bit more flexibility in terms of how they like to use their bring a friend tickets. And then we also have bring a friend discount months where you can get a discounted ticket for friends, and diamond pass holders can get unlimited tickets during those periods. So I would say that that's a distinguishing factor. And another thing is that they get a tumbler. It's really nice. It's a metal tumbler. It's custom for them. It comes with free soft drinks and icy. So that icy piece is something that other pass holders don't get. So I would say that those are a few key things. All of the season passes come with unlimited admission, free parking, which is nice, and entrance to special event, or really any event that we have, the pass holder wouldn't need to pay an additional fee typically for it. There are some exceptions, but for the most part, that's something that's available to all pass holders. And if we do have a price, it's always discounted for pass holders. And we typically won't distinguish, you know, one pass getting a deeper discount from another. Another thing about Diamond is that when they renew, or if you renew to a Diamond pass, there's usually a deeper discount. So this year when we launched our season passes, the Diamond discount was about $15, which was really good relative to people who are getting a new pass for the first time. So that's the Diamond. And then the Gold, I think, is a really great balance in terms of having some elevated benefits, but coming in at a lower price point relative to Diamond. So some things that distinguish it from the Silver Pass is that they get Bring a Friend tickets. So Silver does not have Bring a Friend free tickets. Gold does. It has, for example, May, during the month of May, Gold pass holders will get a Bring a Friend ticket. So that's a really nice added benefit. I think it also really helps in terms of value. You know, you could be bring a family member or something of that nature and save on the price of a ticket. So I would say that that's another distinguishing difference between Diamond and Silver, Silver and Gold.
Yeah, the thing that I noticed when I purchased my season pass was just how easy the process was to do it. And then you just, you know, you upload a photo and then it's digitally sent to you and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's a really great option that we have available. And I think it really helps you to save time when you enter the park for the first time. You don't have to worry about going through the lines or going through the season pass center. You just have your digital season pass right on your phone. I think it makes it very seamless.
It doesn't. Where you're located too, I mean, there's tremendous value to being a pass holder, because like we've talked about with all these different events that you have, you're going to want to visit Kentucky Kingdom more than once. And, you know, 2 hours from like Cincinnati, Indianapolis, you're less than 3 hours from Nashville. So where you're located, I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world if you're within that 3 hour radius of Kentucky Kingdom to get a season pass.
I agree, especially if you buy it early on when we launch. So we always launch around Labor Day weekend. So that's something to definitely keep in mind. And that's usually the lowest price we'll offer. So if you buy it at that point, you're essentially getting the cost of what you would pay for a day ticket and parking. So it pays for itself in one visit at that point. So highly recommend that. If you even come one time, if you buy it at a later point, I would say it takes at least like 1.5 times to get the value out of it, but it's definitely worth it.
So Logan, where can our listeners find Kentucky Kingdom on social media?
We are Kentucky Kingdom across all platforms. We're on, I would say, Instagram, Twitter, or X, Facebook, and those are our biggest platforms. We're also on YouTube, TikTok, and they can find us at Kentucky Kingdom.
All right. Well, Logan, we appreciate your time, and I'm certainly going to be there multiple times. I'll let you know when I'm going to be there, and looking forward to my visits, and just have a great season.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me. Look forward to y'all coming out to visit.
Everybody stick around. We got the Pick Six coming up next.